things cannot be long hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. So tonight, the truth is going to be unfiltered and full of flavor. Please welcome Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo, bringing you the Smoking Truth.
Happy Friday, Dana McCool.
Eric, 305.
305 is in the house.
Yes, he is.
We have Victor Ramos, former city commissioner Deltona.
Mm-hmm.
Always city commissioner.
And the executive director / CEO of Mid-Florida Housing. We're going to get into some housing issues here that I know Dana wanted to talk about as far as affordability. And we want to put things in context, folks, mm-hmm. and also kind of let people know, too, what Victor's up to and what he's doing with Mid-Florida as well.
And I'm going to preface this by saying that 305 is one of the nice guys, so on, just keep that in the back of the reaches of your mind when I start talking about certain things.
Okay.
This is one of the good guys. This is what a good guy looks like.
Got it. Hey, so do me a favor, Vic. You may need to turn up your thing a little bit. Just flip it. Yeah, just so that way it gets
and
a little
get
better.
Close.
Yeah, and get a little close. There you
yeah.
go.
All right.
All right, so let's get some stuff out of the way.
Housekeeping, chop, let's go.
Quick.
You sense the frenetic energy emanating off of me, don't you?
So I do a little bit. And then I want to do like a couple minute rant here. I think that's something we probably should do in the beginning of the show. Just get the rant, get it out of our way, and get it out of our system.
Yeah.
Let's get on.
So we get clear headed.
So don't forget, everybody, you can follow us on YouTube at the Smoking Truth. Come on, people, Smoking Truth Podcast, go to YouTube.
We're growing.
Hit the subscribe, hit the notification bell. This way, when Tuesdays this thing drops, guess what?
You're notified.
You're notified. And now you can watch or listen to the show.
You're notified.
All the major podcast carriers. Don't forget, we also put this stuff on Facebook. I am trying to get better about Twitter, but Facebook, I know everybody tends to follow our the fan base is growing on through Facebook as well, and more people are sharing. Yep. So do me a favor, get on Facebook if you need to, but you can click that link right on Facebook and you can get right to the show and start watching it or listening to it, however you want to do it.
Exactly.
And then don't forget, you can always email us, gonzo@smokingtruth.live. That is pretty much it.
Wow.
We got OG in the house today.
Yes,
thank you so much.
OG is back.
he's back. And with that being said, I do have a lover over here.
Who's your lover?
This is Pappy.
Ooh.
That's one of the ones. Yeah.
You didn't smoke them all last weekend?
No, because I had things going on. And so I know I'm a loser. I know. But I had the Pappy, and I was like, but I'm not going to smoke it as much, people, because I want to be, obviously, I want to be careful with Dana. So I'm probably not going to puff on it too much. But it is here next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got for today.
So I don't have a lover either, but I'm taking a lover next week because there are some new lovers coming out tonight, and I want to be first.
I heard about
on
it, yes.
Lover.
I heard tonight here at Cigar Hustle, they're doing, it's a Friday night, so by the time everybody catches, it'll be late, but they're having a rollout.
You know what we're going to do?
New version
right?
of Pastani,
You know what we're going to do, right?
We're
going to take some bread. And we're going to have some random things, and we're going to put it on the bread.
There is always something random going on in your life. with that said, I got my trusty old Elvis right here.
Elvis is back.
Elvis is here with me always. And so with that, I want to go into whatever. So I told Dana before, I said, hey, look, at the beginning of the show, if we want, let's try and get something we can do a little bit of a rant if we feel the need to. This way we can jump into what we need to jump into. So there's two things I want to rant about a little bit.
Okay, go for it.
Came up this week. Number one. Okay. People. I want to educate Americans. When I say Americans, everybody, right? White and black and whoever else in between. Because I feel like there's a level of stupidity that happens everywhere. Folks, Puerto Rico is a Commonwealth of the United States of America. That means that these people are entitled to citizenship already. There is no fucking passport that's required when traveling between Puerto Rico and anywhere else in the United States for that matter. They are not a foreign country. So this stuff popped up on Twitter, and it happens every so often. There was a stupid announcer a couple years back on a basketball player. He made a comment about like, oh, Puerto Rico, you know, and something he immigrated here. No, they don't freaking immigrate, okay? There are four major territories in the United States. All right, there is Puerto Rico, Guam, there is the U.S. Virgin Islands, and I believe Mariana something or other, okay? My point is that these people already classify as American citizens. So when they get a driver's license, that license is actually valid in the United States of America. From the lower 48, because I don't see nobody questioning Hawaii or Alaska, and they're not attached, and nobody calls them a foreign country, but they are part of the United States. If you don't like it, well, then write to your congressmen and women and tell them you don't like it. But my point is, let's stop being ignorant, because we want everybody to be educated on the Constitution or something else, and we can't even figure out that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. They are not coming from fucking Mexico or Honduras where they need a passport or something else. Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. That's my first rant. Stop being ignorant about this shit, people, please, okay? We are better than that. Number two. So this week, there Come seemed here. To be a misunderstanding.
Hold on. I need to check you in between rants.
Well, I take offense
okay.
because my heritage is Puerto Rican.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And my mother is a U.S. citizen.
Right.
Has always been since the day she was born, since the days of the Jones Act. All right. If you don't like the Jones Act, hey, guess what? A lot of Puerto Ricans don't like the Jones Act either because Puerto Rico gets screwed because they got to route their ships to Jacksonville. Jacksonville makes the money. Puerto Rico makes jack shit. So I want everybody to understand that, too. But that said, ever since the days of the Jones Act, Puerto Ricans have been U.S. citizens. So can we please stop the ignorance? It drives me nuts.
Sorry, Eric. I just have to jump in.
I know you do.
And as a U.S. citizen, there's one basic fundamental right that we all have, and that's the right to vote for president. Guess what Puerto Ricans are not allowed to do in the island?
I know.
Vote for president. But yet we're U.S. citizens.
I know. So, hey.
Get informed.
That's my first rant. And folks, I want you to know I didn't do that because Mr. 305 was just here. It just happened. The timing was just perfect for it. So anyways, it is what it is. My second rant. All right. So this week there was some commentary made on social media about the mayor and him being out this week on what I thought was a pretty big vote. And I'm not even going to get into the fact that the attorney for the developer looked condescending. And I'm like thinking, how are you not prepared? Like, oh, new information came up this week. And I'm thinking, what? What are we talking about here? So I know for many folks it looks a little suspicious because now the mayor's not there on a crucial vote. The mayor had put out there that his family, obviously, his family was sick. And then the next day, him and his wife were at an event right away. So it gave the appearance as that, what are you talking about? They're sick. Did you just want to miss that vote? And my only piece of advice to the mayor is I know, I have an idea because I talked to somebody else who just kind of gave me a little bit more on that because I didn't think it was fair because, folks, while they are elected officials, they do have a right to privacy. And if there's something personal going on in the mayor's life, I think he's entitled to go ahead and be able to sit here and say, hey, look, I got something personal going on in my life. I can't make it. I know it's only two meetings a month, and he or any of the commissioners should be there unless there's something dire going on. It is my understanding something that the mayor had something going on that was pretty important and involved his daughter. And so, you know, look, I'll say this is that probably not artfully put out there the way he did it. But understand this, too, that there are people in that audience who are watching everything we do. Now, I'll also go into this. This is what happens when you goat these people into working them up on whatever issue you have. Those people in the audience, they will turn on you in a heartbeat. Those same people who went after Jane, everybody's like, oh, go after Jane Shang. Which was legitimate, but these same people will turn on you in a heartbeat the moment. And I'm just saying is that's why I'm a firm believer in civil discourse, because some of them like to just shout for whatever reason. I don't understand what the hell's going on with them. And I know they seem frustrated with the city, but there's a way to approach the city and state your case and argument without having to shout all the damn time. But know that those folks down there, that's why I've always said, I am just telling you, this is what happens when you, as Dana likes to call sometimes, you poke that bear. You can't have it both ways. You can't sit here and say, yeah, rah, rah, get them all started. And then the minute you do something, it's like, oh, wait, don't come after me. That doesn't work that way. This is politics, folks. And those folks down there in the audience sometimes, whether they're right or they're wrong, and a lot of times they have good points, but that's what happens down from those folks in the audience a lot of times.
What do you think about moving public comments to the first 30 minutes of the meeting and then shutting it down before the meeting? And commissioners not having to attend, or no one actually having to attend.
Listen, public comments, whether they do, I don't care where you do public comments, but commissioners should be there for the public comments. Bottom line. Now these are just your general public comments. My understanding is once they get into agenda, once there's a public comment section in that particular item, then they go ahead and they comment. That's fine. But these are just your general public comments who say, hey, I got a pothole on my street, I want it addressed, or whatever it may be. I have concerns about this, that, and the other. Those general public comments, number one, folks, they don't have to be necessarily, you know, recorded in the way that we do it right now. They can shut the camera off and then be in just the voice, and that's all it is. And I'm not completely opposed to that either, okay? But if you're a city commissioner and there's a public comments, you should be there. Folks, you got elected to the damn thing. Let's have some thicker skin here and recognize the fact that it is what it is. If you don't like it, then don't run. But this is the reality. I know some of those folks go a little crazy and get a little hot, but that's just, and I know some are trying to protect the city because maybe it's not the right look for the city sometimes, but that comes with the territory, unfortunately. And so if you don't want to have the camera on, whatever, it's fine. But if you're going to do it at the beginning, I got no problem with that. But then, city commissioner, you better be there. I'm sorry. My personal opinion.
Do you feel better?
I do now.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'm going to save mine.
Woo! I love it. I love it. Yeah.
That's like going in the bathroom and doing what? Screaming what? Fuck!
I know.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's
like. All right, I got it out of my system. Dana, by all means, I'm going to shut up for a little tiny bit.
I would like to formally, again, introduce our guest.
Okay.
Mr. Victor Ramos.
People are going to be out there going, my God, Eric, you were just...
Used to be.
Sorry.
How do you follow this?
Isn't it funny how the most, like... unhinged person on the podcast is the most calm person right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like switching. We're switching.
Yeah,
it's almost like you're becoming crazy Democrat and I'm becoming pragmatic Republican.
Let's not go crazy now, please. Okay. Take it easy.
Our guest today is Vic Ramos. Love him. He used to be my commissioner brother there. The one that helped steady me in times of trouble.
There were lean. I heard there were lean times. You know, that was his way. Take it easy, Dana. Lean back.
Because when I'd lean forward, he'd lean back.
Yeah,
no. But Vic is working. He is a CEO of Mid Florida Housing Partnership Inc. It's something that we have talked about for quite a while in our community. We have great community involvement workers in the city. Standing Angelica is, oh my God, she is three people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love her with the city. And we take this seriously. And I'm glad to see you being able to get more involved in West Volusia. And I want to thank you for that, because I know your, when I talk about this, I know your motives to be pure. I know the type of person that you are. I don't give a fuck what anybody's ever said about you or whatever.
I'm putting in that one for you.
Yeah, I double that shit. Anyways, I know you to be true in what you do. You have a passion for what you do. The background that you come from sets you up for nurturing the community with this. So can you tell me a little bit about, and tell our people a little bit about what you're doing with Mid-Florida Housing Partnership?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much for the invite. I appreciate the opportunity, and you're looking great. So
thank you.
So like you said, I'm with Mid-Florida Housing Partnership. Just to give a quick background, we've been around since 1989, working with affordability throughout Volusia and Flagler County, as well as we run a transitional housing out of Daytona Beach called Palmetto House.
Mm-hmm.
For single individuals. There's an intake process that they have to take. They do get drug tested,
mm-hmm.
and they pay a weekly fee. Now, one of the things, they are able to stay at Palmetto House for 3 years. One of the benefits in being in Palmetto House is we've worked out with Daytona State that they can actually go to school for free. So
I've
had a client gone to a Daytona State, receive his associate, works for Daytona State now, moved out of our transitional housing, and is now an actual board member for Mid-Florida Housing Partnership.
That's awesome.
So, again, it's all about that mindset of transitioning. The other thing that we do, and we just brought on another HUD-certified counselor. We're the only agency that I know of in Volusia County that has two HUD-certified counselors. Now, I say that because it's very important. Work that we're doing in the county throughout is we have affordable rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
We keep them in the affordability between 15 and 20 years, depending when we pick them up.
Right.
So we keep that in a sliding scale of what affordability is. So that means that 30% of what your income is. Mm. That's the only thing that we can, as far as the rent. So we keep that affordability. We actually have about 11 properties that have met that affordability. Now, it's easy to say turn around and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen to the individuals and the families that are living there? They're not going to be able to afford anywhere else.
Right.
So we've kept them. We've kept them under the affordability. But one of the other things that we're doing is working with our HUD counselors and our clients and our renters is to try to help them to transition as well. Sometimes individuals are not ready, or they don't know that they're ready to mm-hmm. purchase a home.
Right.
So the opportunities that we have for some of the properties that have met its eligibility is to speak with the renters and say, hey, are you ready or are you willing? And if mm-hmm. you're willing, we're going to help you because we provide first-time home buyer classes as well as credit-to-credit scores. And then we have a HUD counselors who are working with our clients constantly. So for the most part, that's what we do between, again, Flagler and Volusia County. Now, we had an event not too long ago in Daytona Beach, here in Deltona, about 6 months, and we were speaking to Angela. And one of the needs that we keep hearing here in the city of Deltona is the affordability of rentals.
Yep.
So we also know that there are some dollars that the city has that it's on a time schedule. that need to be able to get used somehow. So somehow we came in and got in touch with the AHAC committee here in the city of Deltona. We presented. The AHAC committee was excited about it, and we've actually met with the mayor and commissioners and as well with the city manager in reference to what we're doing to collaborate. So that's in the stages that we are right now. We've met with most commissioners. You and I have spoken as well in reference to what it is that we're doing and how we're going to partner with the dollars that the city has in purchasing properties, and those properties then will be given over to Mid-Florida. And the and listen, only thing that we can do is keep them under affordability.
And I don't want to state this too, because I understand how this concept works. I understand how this model works. And something that I completely detest is the predatory nature, should I say, of the potential of developers, right? And when I say developers, you know what I mean when I say developers. Not all developers are predatory. A lot of them are, however. So what I want to avoid in my city is developers coming in, swooping up property and trying to model this with no prior experience other than a profitability model with no investment in the community. You guys have been around for a long time, and I want our community to nurture your model. You know what I mean? Or models like yours. Let me just say models like yours that do what you do. I don't want developers coming in and picking up property and flipping and doing this shit on a profit basis, period. That's not an investment in the community.
Well, and here's a conversation that we've been having. Again, the affordability time schedule is based on what we do with the city. We're looking at 20 years, which is something totally different that I don't know that you're going to get from any developer out there that's going to keep a property in affordability for 15 to 20 years.
They're not going to. There's no money in it for them, really, honestly.
Exactly.
Really quick, Vic, when you say, so people understand too, when you say HUD counselors, right, obviously HUD stands for Housing and Urban Development, right, which comes from there's federal stipulations on that. So can you explain a little bit why you guys are different? Because there are some people trying to do something similar, but they don't have the HUD counselors, which is very important.
So there's a lot of times that you hear that they provide counseling. Well, I'll tell you what's happening. The counseling that they're providing is that they come to Dana, and Dana says, using you as an example, and Dana says, oh, excellent. I know. Here are the challenges. I tell you what, go see Mid-Florida Housing Partnership. That's where their counseling is. At the end of the day, it ends up in our office.
Yeah.
So we have two HUD counselors that are constantly working, and we don't have a problem with it. You know, we're okay. We're here to work, to be part of. But to your point, yes, unfortunately, you have a lot of agencies who are getting money at the county level as well, and from different cities that are not providing the counseling.
So let me just point this out here. Dear councilman men in Volusia County, we talk about, because we had Danny Robbins on last week, and we talked about duplication of services, we talked about cutting dollars, and we talked about that. So that's what I'm talking about, is tying up those that duplication there. We don't need that. You know, we need a better vetting process, whether it be through West Volusia, or what I mean by Volusia, West Volusia Hospital Authority, or any of the other nonprofits. We need a better vetting system so that there aren't duplications of services. But it's my belief that there, I would venture to say that about maybe 20 to 23% of the dollars that we send out, it's a profit margin for somebody instead of just true working capital, right? That's reinvested in the community. And taking it and talking about it like that, when you're investing those dollars, if a county invests in Mid-Florida Housing Partnership, the money is invested right back in. It's a pass-through. It invests and it works right in the community and comes to the community.
Now, I will say we do have a collaborator. We do collaborate with the county, and they pay us to provide the first-time homebuyer classes. But now, to your point, we get paid per class, not per students. So it would be easy for me to say, okay, hold on. We're only going to do 10 students at a time and build on much more classes. So that's the way we're getting paid. But our mindset is not. We're doing the classes. If it's 50 students that we're doing and they're all on Zoom, and then eventually they do a one-on-one with the counselor. So we understand what's out there, and all we want to do is to be able to provide this service. One of the things that we constantly talk about, it's a hand up, not a handout.
Right.
I'm one of the first ones that says, no, you have to have some skin in the game.
Yep.
You know, you and I have had these conversations. You know, where is that personal involvement or input that you need to have? There has to be something that you're putting in. You have to have some skin in the game, and that's part of what we do here with Mid-Florida Housing.
Let me ask you this. What is it? Tell me. I want you to take me through these three quickly, okay? What is the state can do better to help you, okay? And just speaking of Mid-Florida Housing, what is it the county can do better to help you? Because we know all federal dollars come through, so I'm not even going to go to the feds. That's a waste of breath. And then what can individual cities, what can we do to help you cut through some of the red tape and let's get people homed? What can we do?
I'll tell you part of what I've been now.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a good slogan to use. Let's get people home. Or the city, for a city to pick up to use that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, absolutely. So one of the things that I started doing this year is I visit Washington. I went up there for 4 days, again, to start building those relationships. Now, I will say that we do have some relationships at the state level, but I don't know that the prior individual established those relationships. So those are things that we're working on. People don't know about you, they don't know about you.
Right.
So I am making sure that we're establishing those relationships because we have a history. Mm-hmm. There's something that we have that I can give and say, this is what we've done.
Right.
So that's what we're working on. We have a very good working relationship with the city of Daytona Beach as well. And thankfully, now we're building that relationship here in the city of Deltona.
What can Deltona do to help you?
Well, and I think you guys are doing a great job, to be quite honest with you. I have to give Angela and the AHAC committee a big hand because they actually are moving what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to meet with the commissioners. Eventually it's going to come to you guys and you guys are going to approve or not approve.
Do we have anything in the works?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, we do. I'm very, very looking forward to that and looking forward to helping in any way that I can to further a good program like that in our community to help sew it into the fabric of our community, because that's what we need. This is a perfect segue for me, okay? This is a perfect segue for me on development in Deltona. Generally speaking, when we talk about needing homes in Deltona, we actually need homes that people can afford. We have the gentrification of Deltona this way, and the fact that we're not building affordable housing. With that being said, developers are getting carte blanche into our city. We had a period between 2010, and then in 2018, where we were so desperate for development that we let anybody in.
No.
Remind me of Bridgerton. I'm watching that right now.
Mm.
And they are so desperate to marry off the daughters that they're taking any old hack with wooden teeth that comes along. Okay?
I just started watching Game of Thrones. I know I'm late behind it, but it's the same concept.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. And that's what we did as a city. Okay? That's what we did as a city. Now we're going to pay for it. But what I'm saying is that is a true investment. Building out like we're trying to do, that's not affordable housing in our community. And we need to be more cognizant of that. When the city has the opportunity to purchase homes, we need to purchase it under that and give it to a partner that is going to help weave affordability into our city plan. We need more people in homes in Deltona. You know, we have so many multi-generational homes. We have so many multi-family homes. And when I say that, there are, you know, at times three different family sectors living in one home because we have an affordability problem. And we really need to tackle that to build community.
So I think one of the things, and Victor, I'll get to in just a second. I just wanted to comment on this, which is that one of the challenges and something that's always discussed on this platform, and it's a conversation constantly with other city commissioners as well, which is that balance between brand new development and then also trying to take care of existing properties and existing infrastructure, whether it be for anywhere from downtown Daytona Beach, a number of properties or or places like Deltona Boulevard for us over here, which is an older section of Deltona. My point is there's opportunities to reinvest back in those communities, especially for those who may not have the wherewithal that some do, but they're in that, like you said earlier, they're in that transitionary period where they're trying to get the next leg up to try and be a homeowner. And so I'll throw out to all the cities, there's 16 cities in Volusia County, and even with the county, for those properties are still in the county, there are opportunities there that I think you can explore with the folks at Mid-Florida Housing on how do we go ahead, and if we're going to go into that game of purchasing properties, right? Because nobody wants to see a property next door sitting there delinquent forever and a day, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the city or county, somebody's going to buy it up and say, okay, we're going to take it off the rolls for right now. We got to buy it up. What are we going to do with it? And here's an opportunity to segue into a place like Mid-Florida so that now Mid-Florida owns. Now, you guys, for the properties you guys own, you guys are paying property taxes on that, right?
No, we don't pay property because we're nonprofit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. That also helps us to be able to sustain these properties because we're paying the homeowner's insurance. We're paying everything.
Oh.
So anything that happens, for matter of fact, just 3 months ago, I had to replace 8 roofs.
Okay.
And those right. dollars are not coming from anywhere else.
Got it. Okay.
But from what we're doing in reference to the rentals.
We're taking that shit off abatement.
Well, the point is that now there's going to be somebody there, the homeowner or the renter, you guys, somebody's actually going to be there to help take care of that property and not just going to be sitting there waiting for tall grass and somebody to break the windows at some point in time. They're just sitting there and everybody in the neighborhood's kind of going, man, what's going to happen to these properties? So you get to see, whether it be Deltona, Daytona, or anywhere else for that matter, could be Edgewater. You can, hey, if you as a city are making that determination to buy that property, you can buy that property. And then there's an avenue for you all to go down, which would be like a place like Mid Florida Housing to sit here and say, okay, look, Victor, we want to work with you guys on this piece of property so we can at least start, you know, there's some activity going in that home. So it's not just abandon it. And I mean, because if not, you saw what, I mean, here's a perfect example of someone who goes to Detroit as often as she can. And we all know the challenges that City of Detroit's had on the outskirts outside downtown with all those abandoned homes for years. Mm-hmm. People just up and left.
God, they're beautiful now.
Especially, and I've been seeing some of the homes that have been coming back. And so my point is, but that happened because of this public-private partnership that started to happen. And I'm just saying that that's what I think we need to start exploring as well.
And I just want to add, and I want to go back because I think it's important, part of our counseling and education aspect that we offer. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's easy to put someone in a house, for example, right? You got the 30%, no worry, we get you, it's affordable, but what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, what's next? Are you going to live there now for the next 20 years?
It's like continuing education, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I believe in that investment. Do you know what's not an investment? I'm going to take over now.
Oh, Lord.
It was coming at some point.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you, excuse me, one second here. Florida SB 102, a.k.a. Developer BJ. For those of you that don't know what that actually means, it means BJ.
You know what it means, folks.
This is 95 pages of a Senate bill that is addressing affordable housing in the state of Florida. Let me tell you what this is. This is a BJ. This is an HJ. This is an SJ to the cities is what this is. This is 95 pages of developer tax breaks. It's 95 pages of utter bullshit of the governor for development money. This is him setting himself up for a presidential bid.
Wait, I let you rant.
Right, you need to just sit there with Jesus.
All right.
Sit in your wrongness.
All right.
Okay? Have you read all the bill?
I've read aspects of the bill, yes. And so, it wasn't driven by the governor, but
when we say that we've read aspects of it, we have read enough of it to protect the Republican stance on this and make it okay to pass through because it has the beautiful words affordable housing in it. What this does not do is create partnerships and communities. What this bill does not do is really address affordable housing. What this does is it steamrolls municipalities into being able to govern how big money comes into a city and bulldozes towns. And it doesn't even have to pass through city ordinances. It doesn't have to pass through development standards. It doesn't have to pass through shit. Because you know why? It's already passed through the governor's hands. That's the only thing that it had to pass through. Read all 95 pages of this. I guarantee you, you'll have a different take. When we read aspects of it, we don't read and connect the cause and effect in the bill on a community. That's not what's done. This is to look good, to look pretty. This is giving them the Mercedes-Benz for being big development money. And again, adding thank you very much to what? The coffers, and you say this wasn't the governor. The governor controlled. Listen.
It's not. I'm just telling you it's not. I'm going to listen.
Let me ask you something. Who does the Senate serve? Because obviously it's not the people.
No.
It is not the people of Florida. The Senate serves the governor.
I want to clear up something right now. Because what you're doing now is making an insinuation that everything that happens in Florida is driven through the governor. And that's not always the case. That is not true. What's happening here is that your whatever for the governor is blinding you a little tiny bit, in my personal opinion on this.
I don't think so.
This was driven by this was a big deal that was coming from Senate President Pasadomo, whether we like it or not. Okay, this was part of the sausage making process that happens. Each Senate President, each
speaker. Do you know what he's saying?
No,
he's saying that it's going to happen. Just lay back and
No. Each Senate President, each Speaker of the Florida House comes in with their own agendas and ideas as well that they want. This is not just about, because Governor Rick Scott, when he was governor, did not get everything that he always wanted. Governor Charlie Crist before him did not always get everything that they always wanted. It's all part of that deal. So what I'm saying to you is this was driven in large part by Senate President Pasadomo. Mm-hmm. In order to get this through, there are certain things that probably she had to go through in order, you know, to get some deals going in order to get this thing going. This was not driven in large part by the governor as a common misconception. And when I say I read aspects of the bill, I want you to understand this. I've been doing this long enough to know that I don't need to really read the bill in its entirety. I will tell you that this, yes, I told you once before on this show, okay? I'm not talking about from a developer standpoint. I'm just telling you the mindset, which is that, hey, look, if the idea, the goal is to drive affordability, what that affordability is, I know. We can argue on that all day long.
What is the affordability? What does the Senate think is passable affordability?
That's above my head. What they decide, exactly. What they determine is affordability.
Exactly.
Because I did not work out the deal on this. What I will tell you is that whatever it is that they determine is going to be affordable, right, for workforce. Because remember, this is all in the context of workforce housing. It's no
slave
longer
slave housing.
Well, no. This is not, no, because when you say affordable, then what's going to happen? Everybody's going to start thinking Section 8, this, that, and the other. This is not Section 8. This is what they would want to term more workforce housing, right? So that way you can get first responders, you can get teachers and others into this. My point in saying this is when I read aspects, were there aspects that I said for me personally as Eric, when I read through a lot of this, I said, man, there are some concerns over here, right? Why? Because to your point, right, what this does was, the concept was, hey, if we can go ahead and get enough housing stock in the marketplace, eventually that'll tamper down or at least control the heat that we have in the marketplace right now with prices being driven because, you know, there's not enough housing stock. There's a lot of people moving to the state of Florida. You can do that all day long. But I'm giving you, that's the reality, especially when you're talking about Republican mindset that believes in the free markets and not a bunch of Democrats
Eric,
going, oh, we want
Eric,
rent control.
No, I don't want fucking rent control. Do you know what I fucking want, though? I want people of a city elect a commission to try to make decisions for their municipality. And what the state has done is you have handed down developers are fucking free reign to just come and do what the fuck they want to in a community. That's what I'm pissed off about. I am so disappointed in Volusia League of Cities that they fucking supported this right here. I know who a big driver was, and I'm not gonna name him. I am not going to fucking name him, but I know who the big driver of this was for fucking Volusia. But it's baloney. People read this. This is what's happening. People are tired of reading anymore. They don't read stuff, and that's how shit gets passed. This got passed. This is bullcrap.
Well, not just Florida League. It's not just Volusia. It's the Florida League of Cities, the Florida Associates and Counties. Listen,
thank you.
I will
very
tell you
much.
That they did bat some things off. One could question how much they actually really did, because there was a big piece of this that is driving a lot of cities crazy, which is the idea that, hey, if you meet certain requirements,
you don't have to do shit.
And if you meet certain little requirements and you go ahead and put in the 40% stock,
40%.
And not only that you're using taxpayers at the county level, you're using their fucking dollars. Because listen to one of the things here that's rich as fuck.
Let me put it in.
Each county shall make the inventory list publicly available on its website to encourage potential development. That means that the county needs to go do the work to fucking put the fish in the barrel for fucking developers. We're going to do this. You're not going to have to do any work at all. You just need to come with your fucking dollars, and that's it.
Well, I'm also going to put as a statement of fact, this bill, whether people agree now that it's out, right, fully, whether people agree with it or not, I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at the vote scores on both houses, this thing was voted largely. I'm not talking about small. Like I love when people always say, oh, bipartisan, you got five Republicans or you got five Democrats. No, this was passed with a lot of Democrat support in both houses. So I know they weren't crazy about it, but they're going along with it. I think probably a lot of them went along with it because they were saying there were some other aspects of the bill that they thought could be useful back home as well. But there was so I'm going to tell you that if you're going to sit here and rant about it, this is not just whether the governor did or just Republicans. Yes, it's being driven by the Republicans, but there were a lot of Democrats who signed their name on board with this shit and went along with it. Just to your point. Hey,
I mean, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to use one word together. Two words, but one word. Strong arm.
Strong arm?
That's exactly what's happening in local politics. That here's the thing. When you have the upper hand, you can apply bullyism, because if you don't do this, you're not going to do this. And that's what's wrong with fucking politics today, is that people don't stand up. And this right here pretty much handicaps cities, municipalities, to protect themselves. And I'll tell you this, I'm like, I'm probably going to run again. I'm probably going to run again just because of things like this, because everybody is so in bed with everybody. It's such an incestuous relationship that politicians have with developers that I like calling this stuff out. Because you know why? Who else is doing it?
And I encourage you, listen. I've told you as a friend, folks, so whether Dave and I yell at each other a little bit, we are friends, because I'm still going to tell her to encourage her. Look, I 100%, if that's what's going to drive you, then go ahead and run again. And I will say to anybody else, because I will tell you right now, there's a lot of local commissioners, and I want you to understand something too, both Republican and Democrat, who are not not happy about this bill or the way that it was done. And I will tell you, look, if this is what's concerning for you, then run. But make sure that your folks who you're paying, because everybody pays into the League of Cities, that you're actually sitting there kind of going, hey, guys, thank you for batting down some things off the bill. But the major piece that's given everybody like heart attack, nobody did anything about, right?
And that's what the League of Cities is supposed to be about, protecting, nurturing, and advancing cities as a whole. But they're basically not. You know, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like a virus has gotten into everything. Oh my God.
Take a breath.
95 pages of this, of exemption, not have to. It is amazing to me, and it's really a sad day, and I will continue to do everything in my power, because let me bring it back to the positive stuff.
Okay.
This right here, what this does is it basically takes all of the working capital, the focus off of people like this that are doing the right thing for the right reason. There's not shit in there that's community driven.
Well, that said, what I'll tell you is, you know, Victor and I
I'm
had
sorry, did you guys get this? Did the camera catch this? I just want to make sure, because was moving around a lot.
Wait, just in case, it says Florida SB 102, aka in quotations, developer BJ, just so everybody knows. So what I'll tell you is that within this context, Victor and I had a conversation on this about 2-3 weeks ago. We had a conversation on this, and asked him, I said, hey, you know, have you had a chance to look at it? He says, yeah, I've been hearing rumblings about it. I got to get into it a little bit. And I said, okay, is there anything within there you think may be an opportunity for Mid-Florida housing in order to get involved in? And I would say, I don't want to put you on the spot. That's so if you can't answer, don't worry about it right now. But do you think there is, with as much as that, obviously Dana pointed out wrong for local governments, for you guys, you think there's opportunities within this bill?
Well, I was saying, let's focus on that 40%, right?
Okay.
On the affordability, which it's kind of, I want to go back just a little bit to talk about that. And I always like to say affordability is 30% of your income, right? Because that's 30% of firefighters, teachers, people who's working on the restaurant. Because most of the time when we talk about affordability, all we're thinking about is Section 8.
Yeah.
That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would say is, now whether developers are open to this or not, it's a different story. But a developer working with an agency like myself that deals with affordability, to be able then to work with that 40% and be some type of commitment of have a time frame.
Now, you've worked with one or two other developers before, right? Or you've consulted with them on what they can do to try to help out with certain amount of housing stock that they may have in a certain community they're building.
Yes. Okay. And part of this would then obviously having an MOU or somewhat of an understanding that, okay, the developer is doing the build out, they're doing the 40%. And in this case, let's say Mid-Florida would be responsible then to be able to keep that 40% affordable, because that becomes a question. That
40%,
how long would that 40% be affordable?
Let me just ask a question. How many kindly, goodly developers have come to you and said, how can we really help you?
Like I said, it would take a developers who want to be able to come to the table.
But how many have come to you, Victor, to say, we're really concerned about affordability?
None yet, but maybe after this podcast we'll get a few calls.
Yeah, none yet.
Listen, you can say what you want, and I will tell you that while I don't – I'm not crazy about some of the mechanics. I understand what we were doing at the state
level.
That's
Republican speak for I know that shit's wrong.
No, I just, there are aspects of it that the mechanics of it I have concerns about, and we'll see how it's going to play out down the road. Obviously you have your opinion on how it's going to play out. What I will tell you is, conceptually speaking, I understand what they were trying to accomplish. That said, I will say that there's a lot of cities going. Jeez. Thank you very much, state of Florida. We really appreciate it. But this was all being done in order to encourage development. It's not the way you want it and the way you like it, the way it's being done, because of the fact that you feel like, my God, that's a major workaround around local governments. But that's what ideally what was supposed to happen was, hey, we create enough housing stock, we can cool down the prices of the homes and so forth. So
it's not, I promise you that. There's no way in which fucking Republicans want to cool down the housing market. They're too capitalist. It was not.
Well, no, I mean, no, because here's the reality. Here's the deal. There is a balance in all this, and I don't want to go. No, I'm not going to do that either, because I'm going to tell you right now, there is a balance here, because as we are encouraging, and or people want to come to Florida because they think it's potentially a great state to move in, because they're already tired of paying X amount of money in taxes in New York or wherever else, and they're getting, they got that big call around their neck, and they're going, oh my God, where can I go? I can breathe a little bit. They're looking at places like Florida, so they come down here, and then the challenge is they come down with their money from up north. All right, they got $17,000, $18,000, $20,000 in cash, and they're coming down going, yeah, I can afford that. Because right now, if you get a one-bedroom right here, the average in Central Florida can range you anywhere from $1,600 to $2,000 a month, right? So if you go to Lake Mary, you're talking $2,000. Over here, it's probably anywhere from $14,000, $15,000, some as high as $16,000, $17,000 already, right? Up in New York, a one-bedroom, easily going for $25,000 to $3,000 a month. And they're going, yeah, I can afford that for a number of months. And so they're willing to bid up the price. Yep. Or they can buy out the stock very quickly, more so than some Floridians can. And that's where some of the challenge is. So if you put more housing stock, then it gives opportunity for Floridians to be able to move in. Now, whether or not, listen, Dan, I hear you. Whether or not somebody considers $1,400 a month affordable or not, I mean, look, if you're two teachers, look, my son, I'll give you a prime example. My son and his fiance are, they both of them are teachers, right? They live in Lake Mary right now. They're paying about $2,000 a month, I heard, on their one bedroom. It's a nice community where they're at. They got all these, amenities and whatever the case may be, restaurants and so forth. But they're looking for a little bit more breathing room. So they're probably going to move up. My understanding is they're going to try and move up into this area. They may be looking at DeBary and whatever, and or potentially Orange City. And now what's happening is they're looking, I think one place they're looking at DeBary is like $1,600 a month, which gives them now an extra $400 a month breathing room. And they go, yeah, man, oh my God, yeah, Dad, we can definitely afford that. We're okay with that. And so I go back to number one, affordability. I would love to get there. I'm trying to get there. I want people to be able to move into apartments or homes that are much more affordable. But then people also got to figure out their own personal finances as well, too, so on some level, and figure it out. So there's a
person. This is what this is. Let me give you a graphic example, picture, so that you can understand. That's what this is. We want to do what's good for our community. So they're patting your head and stabbing you in the ribs at the same time, so that you might be distracted.
I love your isms you got on the show. It's great.
It
adds a whole nother new level of flavor.
You know what it is. Yeah. You know what the fuck it is. Seriously. Listen, I encourage you to read this. This good affordable housing, this bad affordable housing. Let me cut it out for you that way. If the state was really that interested, if the Senate was really that interested, this is what they would be doing here. Not developers. This is a joke here. This bill is a joke. Whether the intentions were good or not, it got all Republicaned up. And the Democrats, I'm sure, went along with this because Republicans are in power, and they say, you're going to do this or we're going to do that. And it's stupid, other than thinking about what the right thing to do is. And at the expense of many people that can't, they have to live three families deep, because they can't afford
it. And I'll share something else that we're doing with one of our neighboring cities, Daytona Beach, and that they have scatter lots. So we would be probably picking up 5 to 7 scatter lots that they're going to donate to Mid Florida. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do with these scatter lots is we're going to build a home and sell. We want to be able to sell some, and they want us to do some for rentals. So the ones that we're selling, the way we're keeping it affordable is the cost of the land is not being included. Mm-hmm. You're purchasing everything, but you're only paying for the vertical aspect of it.
Okay.
And that was trying to keep it affordable. And that's another option that we've spoken here in the city of Deltona. And even at the county level, the county had a couple of scattered lots that they were working on, but there's some other stuff going on there. I won't touch that.
Yeah. You need to touch that. You need to touch it all over. Tell me. I need to be informed. So I can.
Well, no. It was something that they were going to be putting out to bid. They kind of like sat up there and they said no.
Who is they?
Just the council.
The council,
okay. The council overall, and dictated, I guess, which ones to put out there and what not to put out there. And at the end of the day, here's an opportunity where an agency like myself could acquire this lot, mm-hmm. build on it, and then be able to sell that out to put it back in that tax base, like you're saying.
So they were picking over it, hand picking over it?
Yes.
Mm. What were they saving the other lots for?
I have no idea.
Oh, I need to ask about that. Note to self. Danny, what's up? Jeff, what's up? Matt, what's up? Jake, what's up?
I think, listen, we're going to have some of the folks coming in from the county council soon enough, and mm-hmm. so we can continue.
We're having the chairman in.
Are we? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to go. Yeah. I'd like to get him in. I just, you know, because I think that it's issues like this, and I know we've had that conversation. Even Danny noted it last week when he was on the show talking about, hey, listen, we only have but so much left land to potentially be developed. I think, Victor, one of the numbers that was turned around was like 2%, I think,
yes.
potentially, all right, and so forth. So, but I think when the county is giving out monies on community block rent development funds and other funds, I think this is something where they should look at and kind of going, okay, who is a primary agency that we can work with to help mm-hmm. distribute some of these funds? Well, we know we're going to get a return on investment, and I would say that, you know, it's places like Mid-Florida Housing Partnership. And then you can look at the different cities, right? What other cities are doing, whether it's, you know, like I said, from, you know, Edgewater all the way up to Ormond Beach, out through, you know, DeLand, back down to Deltona, DeBerry. I think there's real opportunities where as cities, this is actually one of the conversations I like to see happening as well. I love for the cities, because that's where the majority of the control comes when it comes to the housing stock issues in general, right? I would love to see cities start having real conversations about, hey, developer X, we'd love for you to work with, if we can, and I know maybe it may be tough because I don't want it to seem like it's all being one-sided, but like an agency like Mid-Florida Housing on what we can do to do that, right? On top of that, look at what your, hey, how many lots you have available, infill lots you have available, mm-hmm. that's not being bought up by, a builder or something like that, where they can work with you all, right? And then trying to provide some sort of, you know, new housing stock.
Eric, if I can just jump in a second. Just last week, I was a part of a listening session here in the city of Deltona in reference to that. And I have to tell you, one of the unfortunately thing is not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So every time this conversation goes to about affordable, again, the mindset is Section 8.
Yeah.
You know, those people, we don't want those people in this neighborhood. And that's why I go back to educating folks in the fact that affordability is 30% of what your income is. And
well,
that is
then let's shout
extreme.
Out there. Hey, cities, Volusia County, cities, even up going as far as Flagler, if we got somebody listening in Flagler, right? Because I know you go up to Flagler as well. We are not talking about Section 8. Can we please stop that?
Yes.
I know there are families on Section 8 who probably need some help, and God bless them, but we're not talking about Section 8. We're talking about opportunities for folks to go ahead and have something a little bit more affordable. It's not Section 8, and with the hope that they could potentially one day buy the actual home that they're staying in.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about, folks. This is not Section 8. So please wipe that from everybody's, you know, periphery or vocabulary or whatever it may be. We're talking about something where it's more affordable than what we're normally used to at this moment in time. So,
okay. That is beautiful.
You like that? I'm trying to educate too, you know?
I know. Okay. You're really effective today.
Yeah, I'm just.
You are. You two work well together.
No, I'm just.
You two work well together. So listen, I have something that I want to talk about. We're at 47. We're at 47. I have something that I want to talk about.
Awesome. Good.
Okay. I want to talk about the governor's presidential announcement on with Elon. Can I just say how this went? Wait, here we go. You ready?
Sorry.
A lot of things were shrinking.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, OG.
That was a good one. Yeah. Good timing.
I got to say, that's, listen, folks, in a microsecond, that describes wholly his whole governorship.
Oh, God.
And his presidential campaign. It just really, it was succinct, and it was beautiful, and it was a moment. And I know the rhetoric that was passed off, like, oh, so many people were trying to access me that it crashed the servers. No, I didn't. They didn't have their shit together. You know that Ronnie wanted to do this himself. You know that a liaison or a governor advisor or a campaign advisor didn't put this forth because they saw all this shit that could go wrong. And when I told you a few shows ago that his ancestors, the governor's ancestors, should have burned all of the witches, that there was chicken foot being worked on him, mark my word, that right there.
Yeah. I love it.
That's going on. I'm just going to say.
Listen, I'll tell you this, is that, look, I know what was being said about the whole thing crashing, and I'll just say that, look, I think someone, so every presidential team, right, has an advance team, mm-hmm. right? Kind of, so it's like, you know, hey, look, you know, just make sure all this stuff is working.
Stop. 1 second. Don't leave your train of thought. Mm-hmm. Look, I just want to start the spin for you. Okay, go for it.
No.
Go on.
Will himself would say right now, okay, Eric, you're going to politics it, aren't you? I was just going to say, look, I think that the governor's team, just in general, I think there's something just need to be mindful of. It happens on campaigns. Well, obviously, this was a big deal for the governor, a big launch.
So good.
And hasn't been done as of yet, right? The way, same way that Obama, you know, did, I think in 2012, he did something online that was a big deal. And obviously, I think that, you know, they had some minor kinks, but probably not what everybody was expecting on Twitter spaces. And so they probably should have just double-checked.
Listen, besides his kickoff, I think for me what bothers me the most is the fact that he wants to secure his job he did before he even put his hat into the race. You know, I think there's no reason you should have to be secured that regardless of what happens to your presidential bid, that you can come back to your job.
Listen,
I just think it's unfair.
It's a fair argument.
You want to have your pie and eat it at the same time, and you don't want to take the risk that you need to be, and whether I like it or not.
Listen.
Go ahead, Vic. Currently, right now, then who is he going to be serving? Serving the state of Florida, or is he going to be serving the bid for presidential of 2024?
Listen, there is a French word for this. Charlie, I'm learning French. El chat. That's what it is. It's a fucking cat. Listen, and you know what the other, you know what I'm
well,
saying?
Well, one of the, I will move. Say this, that one of the concerns I expressed to a friend of mine, a little bit the concern that I had with this a little bit was that it has potential open up doors. And so immediately.
What's the two words I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Unintended consequences. Oh, I'm sorry. Unintended consequences.
So what I will just say is I understand what the argument was behind this on clarity. Mm-hmm. What I'll just say, the unintended consequence that happened here was that now you have Mayor Suarez, a Republican, out of Miami, the city of Miami mayor, who's now going, wait a minute, well, if that's the case now, I can run now for president. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't see him taking away Trump voters. I see him potentially taking away voters from the governor. You know what I mean? And so that's something they're going to have to contend with. And so, look, I if there's enough of a force being driven by the governor, then he's going to be just fine. But once again, I'm laying the facts, folks, so you can just determine what you want. Trump is going to have his voters no matter what. They're not going anywhere. As the two Democrats are looking across from me. I'm just saying that the facts are that former President of the United States, Donald Trump, is going to have his voters no matter what.
Sure.
So now what's going to happen is you have to vie for the rest of those votes. You got now Tim Scott from South Carolina jumped in. Nikki Haley jumped in. Mayor Suarez looks like he may be jumping in. All that is going to potentially pull from the governor. And here in Florida, hey, look. Who should say that another mayor may not just sit here and say, you know what? Well, hell, if I can run and come back, why not? If it's a Democrat, no big deal. But if it's another Republican, once again, it eats into it a little time.
Santiago, I double dog dare you.
Oh, shit, Jesus. So I'm just saying, yeah.
Mayor Chazé, I double dog dare you.
Listen.
Chazé would tear the presidency up. She would have bitches in line the third day on the job. You know that? She would. She's all of 4'11"
Mayor Chazé, as a Republican, can I tell you, I hope, I'm talking to my two Democrat friends over here, I hope that your Democrat Party at the very top level is not going to pull a bunch of hanky-panky crap to get rid of Robert Kennedy Jr., who I think, let me tell you something. I know people complain about his voice a little bit, and
Eric,
I heard it's an illness,
Eric,
but I'm just telling you right now.
As a friend, in your words, isn't that just part of the process and the politics of it?
Well, listen, I'm just telling you.
It goes up in both sides, right?
Well, listen, I know that. Listen,
it's the way the game is played, according to what I keep hearing.
There's a game that gets played, but so this is just in general, right? So, folks, just in general.
This is him spinning from the governor.
No. This is just in general. If we're going to talk national politics just for a second, because the presidency is coming up, right? I'll just say this, is that, folks, on both sides, whether it be Republican or Democrat, I don't want to see people get shut out. If you want to run for president, obviously I do have a concern that there's a potential, like, you start getting past a certain level of candidates, it dilutes the whole thing, I think, a little bit, right? Because then you don't. But I want to see on both sides. Both sides, right? This is Republicans. I'm being fair. Both sides. I don't want to see anybody being shut out from the Electoral College. I know there are some shenanigans that happen sometimes on both sides, but Bernie Sanders, no fan of Bernie Sanders am I, but we all know what happened with Clinton. They shut that shit down quick. And I'm just telling you right now, now they got Biden, who's being controlled by his people, because we all know it's not really Biden running. All right, I want to make sure that Robert Kennedy Jr. has every opportunity given to him to run an effective race, and he's allowed to be on, and then Democrats not pulling some shenanigans like, well, you didn't get this, because we all know what happens at the state level, right? Every other state out there, whether it be New Hampshire, whatever, they get to control a certain level of the politics that happens, and they go, well, Robert Kennedy Jr., you didn't do this, so you don't make it on the ballot. What? That wasn't a rule before. Now all of a sudden it's a rule? Come on. Democrats, I'm just saying.
Wow. Wow.
This stuff makes me laugh sometimes.
Nice spin.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is a great candidate. And actually, he's been talking a lot of good stuff lately. I'm just telling you right now. I even got some people who are sitting there going, they want to actually switch temporarily just to become a Democrat, just so they could, you know, just to give him some oomph behind going against a guy like Biden, because they think a lot of stuff that he's talking about, it actually makes sense. And he's willing to go against the grain, and he's willing to go against the machine.
You know how I can tell when you get preachy?
Yeah.
Because you mishandle Elvis.
No, Elvis is my rock. That's like my anchor. Remember, didn't I tell you a long time ago how I learned something about how you pick up women sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, friends of mine told me.
I'm calling the doc.
Not me. I told about this story once before. I had a guy, it was one time, it was a buddy of mine telling me about it, and it's psychological stuff, right? When you talk about getting that hook when you want to sell something to somebody, find that thing that you can relate to. I had a buddy of mine one time when I was in the military, and what he used to do was he would try to mimic the breathing patterns of the female he was trying to pick up, along with her laughter or whatever, and he would also take his knuckle on the bar sometimes, just kind of knock on it subconsciously, and that was creating that little anchor point. So I'm just creating anchors so that people can listen to me about some of this stuff.
He's trying to pick up chicks on the show, Doc.
No! Whoa. Slow down. That's how people get in trouble in this business. Jesus. Baby, you know how much I love you. I love you so much.
I love the doc so much.
God.
She's all what, 5'2"? Hey,
5 foot and she'll kick my ass,
listen,
let me tell you.
Doc, you can't see this, but he is so red right now. I have to get the fan out again.
Yeah, that fan is
I love it.
I'm having hot flashes again.
We're sending him home safe, Doc. It's okay.
God. Oh, my God. Anyways. Yeah. All right.
Vic, we love having you on. You are so pragmatic, and you are still, like, nobody leans like you. Seriously.
I did have a flashback moment here earlier. I don't know. Whoa.
Yeah, I know. She was getting a little hot there. I thought I was hot in the beginning. She was like, and then the PJ thing. I'm like, okay, we're going there. Okay.
Yeah, hold my tea. You ain't seen nothing yet. A couple of things. We have a couple of guests coming up that I think that you want to tune in for. Next week we have...
Carmen Rose. I'm sorry, Dana.
Go ahead.
Carmen Rosamunda, City DeBerry, city manager. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about some of the great things that are happening in City DeBerry and what he's doing as a city manager to help create a vision.
Listen,
and what
he doing is too. When I say I watched him at Rotary, and listen, if you're not a member of the Orange City, Deltona, DeBerry, Rotary, you need to get your butt down there Thursday mornings. It's 07:30. It seems early, but the stuff that they're doing for the community is incredible. It's out of this world. Come be a Rotarian, Eric. Yes. You are a community anchor, and you need to get your butt there and do it. You need to support your community. Vic, are you a Rotarian?
I was at one point.
Then you need to get back. Oh, you got to go to Daytona, though, don't you? Yeah.
But can I just add real quickly about Carmen? I think one of the reasons he's also been successful as he's been in the city of DeBerry, and I hate to say this, but I think that dies.
He has a council that goes along with what he says.
Well, no. That's not necessarily true. But I think he has a dais that while they might not always agree, hey, let's take a William Sell, and I've had great conversation. He doesn't always agree, but I tell you what, he allows Carmen to be the city manager.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, what has hampered our city is the fact that the dais has never allowed the city manager to be the city manager. Mm-hmm. Too many times, those on the dais are trying to be the city manager, and the city manager is trying to be on the dais. And I think until we don't learn that, we're always going to have some challenges here in the city of Deltona.
That's an interesting point. I heard the same thing about... Oh, let me shut up. Never mind.
Anyways, listen, Carmen
sorry
is a visionary.
About that, but Carmen is a great guy.
He is fantastic. He's going to be on here. We're also going to have County Chair Brower on.
Yep. And Chase Tremont's coming in July. He's a little busy. He talked to me this week, and he told me he wants to get on, but I think June is a little busy for him, so he's going to be in July, yes.
What about Sam?
Look, you know, Representative Garrison, Dana
worry,
wants
just,
you so bad on here. I know. I'm just, you know, if anybody...
Just a call-in. Yeah, has anybody asked or requested Mr. Garrison as much as this right here? No, I think not.
I will.
I am consistent
every week. Next week, I'm going to try inquiring about it.
No, you're not. Yeah. He always tells me that. Just get me shut up. Whatever. Well, I know when I'm being handled. I don't like being handled.
Well, I'm not. I'm just.
Exactly. Thank you, OG. That's why you are OG.
You know, I want to get on here soon, too. We got to make a request to Mayor Burnett. I'd like to get him on here.
Yeah, okay. I already asked him. I said whenever he wants, he can come sit down.
Yeah.
I'd like to put a few people together and not tell who's coming.
Yeah.
I'm getting Jacqueline Lewis on here, too.
You should.
She'll burn it down, baby.
She is.
Get her and Scudero on. That's what I want to do. Would you like? Oh, that's what's happening. I'm putting that out in the universe right now.
Oh my God.
Scudero, Jacqueline Lewis is happening, baby.
Although
showdown at the hoedown, baby.
Although we did make mention last week, as we after we cut off with Danny, that because I know Danny and
Scudero,
and Danny Robbins
okay.
with us to kind of get on, so we could try to because
listen, Mike and Michael make it happen. Mike and Mike Productions, we got to close out. We're running over today because we're so enthusiastic about today's show. Listen, people. Remember this. These issues are important. They touch us all in our community. Vic, will you come back?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to have Mr. 305. We call him Miami Nice, Miami Ice, because he's pretty steady. Love it. Love it.
Steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie. OG, thank you for being the OG.
OG,
the best.
Thank
We're
you.
We're so glad
Welcome.
To have you back.
All right.
Glad to have you back. Mike and Mike Productions, listen for all your production needs. If you'd like to do a podcast, come write a check. They'll guide you down the line. Come talk about whatever you want to talk about, because I hear a lot of people complaining that we don't talk about this, or we don't talk about that, or we do this, or we do that. This is the time to come be your own podcast. So I encourage that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anything else, Eric?
I'm good. I got some stuff out of my system. We talked about developer BJ stuff.
Would like to thank you all for joining us.
Mid-Florida Housing Partnership. Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank you all for joining us this week.
Yes.
Come back next week and every week. Just remember this. If it's important to you.
Yeah, it's important to us, folks. Bye.
This has been The Smoking Truth with Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo. Listen for new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. This has been a Mike and Mike production.